This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. Good morning. We're Nigeria Info and we're looking at a matter that's becoming very disturbing around here. In the last 3 days alone, we've had three female children run or, you know, try to escape from their madams in Port Harcourt, and we're starting to wonder what's going on. Some complain of abuse, some there's no care, you know, and there's one particular one that was taken yesterday. She was brought in on Sunday and she ran away on Tuesday morning, and the woman in question was saying, I didn't pay anything. So I said, why was she brought to you? So technically, in reality, she needed help. And the girl was really small. They said she was 12, but she looked like she was 6 and a half. You know, and this question starts to come up. Then, not far away from here, we hear that a 13-year-old girl has gone missing. She was with her brother. Some persons came and said, aren't you this person's sister? Your auntie said to come get something for her. And they led both of them away and then chased the boy after some time. Until now, the girl is yet to be found. So we're having that conversation about this matter of child domestic stab, and how, you know, there's a case of, increasing case of abuses. This is not what we heard. They have come here. They've run away. Someone has seen them on the road. Someone has brought them to the radio station. And, of course, we've had to get the International Federation of Women Lawyers involved and human... what do you call the other people that you work with? Welfare, yes, social welfare involved to come take them. So with me in the studio this morning is Vivian Akunesio-Pike. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this matter of domestic staff, is it possible that Nigerians can do without having domestic staff?
Doing without domestic staff may not be possible because, I mean, it's... having a domestic staff is a service, okay? Domestic staff render services that are necessary. I mean, it's a profession for some people, really. So we can't do without them. But what we need to do without is having children as domestic staff, because it's unlawful. It's illegal to have a child as a domestic staff. The law makes it an offense to have a child as a domestic staff. And you know that a child has been defined to be anyone under the age of 18. So anyone under the age of 18 should not be employed, shouldn't even be employed, not to talk of being employed as a domestic staff.
All right, so why does it keep happening then?
I guess it happens because offenders have not been punished. I think one of the things, again, I've observed is that people don't know that they shouldn't have children as domestic staff. You know, because in the course of my advocacy, I get to hear people shout, oh, are you serious? My domestic staff is 15 years. Oh, it's 12 years. And you've seen some that are as bad as 9 years, you know, and they claim they don't know. That's one. Two is the fact that when they go to take these children, they don't take them. They don't tell the parents that these children are going to be domestic staff. You know, they go in a relation, an auntie, an uncle in the city comes to the village and tells someone, let me help you with this child. Let me put her, him or her in a school, you know, and then the parent thinking, okay, yes, he or she is my relative. Okay. He or she is promising my child a better education and a better life. And then the child goes, unknown to the parents is what awaits the child in the city or in the township where they've gone to. Again, is you can't we can't leave out the case of poverty, the case of poverty, because if I refuse to let go of my child and you, Eno, refuse to let go of your child, and Mr. A refuses to let go of the child, we won't have children domestic staff. But because there's poverty in the land, I mean, you have people who give birth to children that they can't take care of. Now, the only opportunity they have to have those children go out, they lash on it. So I think these are the prevailing causes, you know, of the rise.
So the case of yesterday, that the child, she was brought from Abia State, you know, and we told the person, take her back, and... the lady was saying, but her other sister is in Port Harcourt staying with somebody. Why can't she not say? She was very angry. You know, so we have those cases where people claim that one family member is already enslaved somewhere and is surviving and coping. So why can't this other one do the same?
You know, and like I told you, the problem is these offenders are not being prosecuted. I think when someone is made an example of, it will serve as a deterrent to the others, okay? If we have had cases where we've rescued children who have been abused, both psychologically, physically, you know, and we've had to call parents to come and pick their children. And you see a mother telling you, madam, I don't have money for transport. If I bring him back, where will he be? I don't have money for the school fees. So you can imagine, even when you're trying to paint the picture of what the child is going through to the parents. But what these parents don't know is that they are complicit. And they can be taken to court and be punished for that.
So maybe lack of awareness, but without even the law telling you, if you have a 12-year-old daughter, for example, would you be okay sending her to go and slave for someone else? And we're talking about slavery up and down. So she's taking care of the younger children, maybe older children, even serving the adults in the house. So she's working for like 3 levels of people.
Yeah.
She's doing work that your own, even you, the madam of the house, would not do. You put her through it. She sleeps for very short hours. Sometimes she doesn't go to school because a lot of clothes to wash. She refuses to buy a washing machine for you. If you buy a washing machine, then what are you paying her for? And sometimes these children don't even know that someone is collecting money. Because the way that lady was angry yesterday, so I asked the other woman, did you pay her anything? She said, no, I didn't pay anything. I just gave her transport. I said, so in all of Port Harcourt, she just woke up, carried the child from Abia and thought to bring it to you. Why is the child in your custody? So we have a lot of educated people who have these slaves in their houses. So they can't report each other. Because if I have, you have, then who's going to report?
You see, that's, these children are vulnerable. And I usually tell people that we are in a social contract with these children because they are vulnerable. So we have a duty to protect. Let me read out something for you from the Child's Rights Act. It says, no child should be employed to work in any capacity, okay? Or no child should be required in any case to lift, carry or move anything heavy as to be likely to adversely affect his physical, mental, moral or social development, or no child should be employed as a domestic help outside his own home or family environment, right? So when you pull a child from his own, you know, his immediate home and you take the child out for the, it is an offense and it is punishable. Now, like I told you, most people don't know that this is wrong. And usually what I ask them is, can a child take care of a child? Mm. Usually a child shouldn't take care of a child. An adult should take care of a child. Now, the onus is on the society. You know someone is in your estate, you know someone who is a neighbor, you know a colleague who is who has employed, you know, as it were, in quote, because whether you like it or not, some of them pay for those children, right?
Yeah.
And we all keep quiet. We are all complicit.
You know, I was asking someone recently, and they said, hey, no, stop now. What does she even do in the house? So if she doesn't do anything in the house, why is she in the house?
That's the thing. If
what
the
does
person
she even
is
do in the house?
Exactly.
She doesn't really do anything. Yeah, so how do you have a conversation with that kind of person?
Yes, I usually tell the person, if he or she is not doing anything, why do you keep him or her? What is she doing in your house? Okay, but the truth is, you, there is no one who you get who you apprehend who will agree that a child is doing anything other than the fact that I'm helping the child. They usually come out as, I'm helping, I want to give her a good life, I just want to help my sister in the village and all that. But we all know that these things are lies, okay? And when you get to interview these children, they tell you the same thing. Okay, so I think the thing is, we need to start making examples of this. But then how can the law enforcement agencies begin to prosecute when you don't even know who is who? Okay, we have caught a woman and the woman kept saying, this is my biological child, only for us to eventually find out that the child wasn't her child. Okay, but she kept insisting, even at the police station, And the child kept saying, my mother is in the village. Mm. So even some of them, when they know that what they are doing is wrong, still don't accept the fact that what they are doing is wrong.
Let's talk about the physical abuse part, because one of the children that ran away that came over here, she had like knife marks. The woman had used knife to inflict some cuts on her.
We have the Violence Against Persons Act, you know, which has happily been domesticated, okay, by the by River State. So it's applicable here. And it says, a person who willfully causes or inflicts physical injury on another person by means of any weapon, substance, or object commits an offense. Mm. You know, sometimes these people don't know that these things they do are offenses, not just to the child, but against the state, okay? So what I usually say is, I mean, there's a whole lot of difference between correcting a child, you know, and trying to inflict an injury on a child. Sometimes when you see them beat these children, they beat them as if they are quarreling with them, as if they are mates. And whatever they do is against the law, and they should be prosecuted. I mean, a lot of them have been prosecuted. I work with FIDA. I belong to FIDA, and we have prosecuted a good number of them. So for those who feel they don't know, I think this is an avenue for them to know that it is an offense for you to inflict injury on a child. For whatever reason, you don't have any right to do that. You don't have any right to do that. Because the right as enshrined in our Constitution, Chapter 4, is includes both not just the adults, but equally the children. This is aside from their rights as given to them by the child's rights law.
You're listening to Nigerian Info. We're looking at rising case of child domestic workers abuse, or those running away from home. And with me in the studio is Vivian Akunesio-Bike. She's a lawyer, and she's also with the Federation of International Women Lawyers. We'll take a commercial, and the show continues in a bit. Do stay tuned. My name is Enoa Gweviri. Good morning.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. We're talking about rising cases of children domestic workers abuse in these parts. Vivian Akunesio-Bike is my guest. She's a lawyer. Thank you again, Vivian, for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so how do we really work around this? Because, I mean, we're here now, we'll be here again. How do we work around this? This issue of parents giving their children to strangers or other family members with a promise or not, or collecting money from them to say, oh, let the child just stay with me, then the issue of also abusing the child.
I've always advocated for our society to be proactive rather than being reactive, you know. We have an attitude in this part of the world that it's only when something happens, that's when we all, you know, get up and as if, oh, we didn't anticipate it. Now, we have seen this. It is that today. It's been happening. Like I told you, we've prosecuted a countless number of women who have inflicted injuries on their domestic staff. And it's not, it looks as if it's not abating. But I can tell you that people are now coming out to talk. In the past, people weren't talking. These things just go unreported and all that. I think where we'll start from is advocacy. FIDA is doing a very good work of advocacy now. But I think other organizations will really need to get into this. First of all, is that we need to get to the hinterland. We need to go and speak to women, because I mean, when a woman can take care of her children, I don't think any woman would want to. Because, you know, some of them, they give out this children because they seem to be helpless. And they are forced to give out these children. So, first of all, we need to start talking to them. If you get to the schools, the higher institutions, the ladies there, well, let me not limit it to ladies, but they should be encouraged to read and to try and get a skill so that you can be financially independent. When you're financially independent, you're sure that you can take care of yourself and take care of your children. Now, you get to the women. We advise women, get a skill, get into a trade. By all means, you should have a source of income, a steady one. If you have a steady source of income, then you should have a say in the number of children that you give birth to. If you give birth to children that you can comfortably take care of, even in the absence of your husband. So don't even say, yes, my husband is there. Now, it's equally good for you to think of, supposing this man is not there. I mean, we've had cases of where men have walked out on, you know, on their wives and their families. Mm-hmm. And these women are left at the mercy of the elements, right? So now we need to talk to the women. Give birth to the number of children that you can independently take care of, irrespective of what your husband is doing. And then we now get to the society. When you see these things, can you please report? When you see something, we tell the children, when you see something, say something. When we get to the schools, we tell them. And I give you a typical example of a teacher who had brought one to our notice, a woman who poured hot water on her domestic staff, a girl of about 13 years. And you know this girl was coming to school with an injury. On one occasion, the teacher just noticed that she was uncomfortable, you know, and called her, and then she now opened her body. The teacher brought her to the feeder center. We took it up from there. I mean, we prosecuted that. We've equally gotten conviction and all that. So the point I'm trying to make is everybody should be responsible for taking care of these children. We were once children. And the law actually states that these children should be protected from elements. They should be protected. We should give them protections. Okay. We are in a social contract with them, so it behoves on us to take care of them.
So some people believe that feeding them and housing them is enough taking care of. I provide clothes, I provide sanitary towel, I feed, I make sure they make their hair, cut their hair. But that's what the adults would say, you know, that applaud themselves. Oh, I'm doing great. I'm, in fact... Well, how does this affect a child? Because nobody thinks about that.
What some of them don't know is that these children have rights. And these rights are well listed. A child has a right to dignity as a child. He should be treated as one, not as an adult. Okay, you shouldn't subject them to torture or inhuman treatment. They have a right to parental care. They have a right to free and compulsory education. They have a right to be children. Okay, they shouldn't be forced into labor. All right. So these are the rights that the law has given to these children. Okay, it is our own prerogative to ensure that we don't infringe on these rights. So I think every person, first of all, remember, I have always said, it is an offense to take up a child as a domestic staff. So you that have a child, let's now assume that you didn't bring the child as a domestic staff. You are an aunt, you are an uncle who is trying to give a better life or help this child, as the case may be. You have a duty to ensure the mental and psychological and physical well-being of this child.
Okay, so you mentioned women a lot. Is it that the men have no role to play here?
Oh, the men have a role to play, but I will usually say that the default setting or a comfort place of a child is usually by the side of the mother. We can't escape the fact that, you know, that these are the people that are usually close to the children. When I say anybody, it's not just limited to women. The men are equally inclusive. So when you fail to provide any of the necessaries that the law have provided, when you infringe on any of these rights, we have had cases. So many men are in prison now for their failure to provide necessaries for their children. I mean, if you get married to your wife and you decide tomorrow you don't want to marry again, you cannot say you can't take care of the children again. Mm. No. As long as you brought them into this life, you have a right, you have a duty to take care of them. So the men are equally to be held responsible. They are the heads of the family, by the way.
All right, so for those that have cases and they would like to, you know, report to FIDA, maybe a neighbor, someone who's abusing someone, are there numbers? Is there a location where they can come to?
Yes. If you want to make a report, you can call us. Our FIDA number is 0803-877-0283. And we keep assuring them, because the problem we have is some of them call you when you want to follow up, probably to go and rescue these children. They don't want to come out again. They tell you, please, I am saving my head. Please, I don't want to, you know, I don't want trouble with my neighbor and all that. Mm-hmm. We can assure you of confidentiality. Nobody will know that you are our source, but just give us the necessary information. We've had cases where people have called us and we say, okay, give us the address. We are coming to rescue, and then we don't get the person again. The person switches off the number. And I understand very well, I appreciate. But here is me, here we are telling you that your safety and confidentiality is assured. And then if you want to come to our center, that's another one. We've had teachers bring these children to our centers. You come to the Magistrate Court building at the High Court, Port Harcourt Town, Station Road, the High Court there, first floor, Magistrate Court building, FIDA office. I mean, everybody knows that. You can walk into our office.
All right, thank you very much.
And then make a report, yes.
Thank you very much for your time. We couldn't take calls and messages, obviously, but some of them are on Facebook. You can check on Facebook. And she says advocacy is very important. If we all keep looking the other way, then we are creating problems, not just for ourselves, but for the next generation. Thank you very much, Vivian Akunesio-Bike.
Thank you.
For your time.
My pleasure.
All right.